Ninja Scroll, Battletech, can't do that on television, Transformers, Saints Row is Grand Theft Auto, listen, you can hit a toasty when I finish you on Mortal Kombat, I can speak another language with nerd English.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Divided We Game, brought to you by the Great Divide Podcast Network. I am your host, Effington Major, and the official weapon of the show is the katana, and the unofficial game is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And tonight, for the very first time in the history of Divided We Game, we are sponsored. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to need you to do is go in your piggy banks, put your coins together, and take them down to your local PC garage with two convenient locations to serve your IT needs here in the Willamette Valley. So you can visit these dudes at the Cottage Grove shop, which is at 7th and Main in Cottage Grove, or you can visit them in Springfield at 14th and Main. And I need to point out, whenever you have real estate on Main Street in two cities, it's because you balling, okay? Main Street is always prime real estate. I don't give a damn what city you in. So make sure you go visit them and they will have all your IT needs taken care of. Workstation setup, maintenance, repair, virus removal. They work with personal people. They work with businesses, corporations. Whatever you need, they got you covered. So make sure you go visit them. You can also visit them online at PCGarageOregon.com. Now, the first thing you'll notice about the show today is that we only have half our team with us. October, the end of September, the beginning of October has been a very, very hard time for a lot of the team. Austin is going through some medical stuff right now. Corey is also going through some medical stuff right now. So I just wanted to put this out there that we are keeping you both in our prayers. We hope you feel better and that you'll be back with us next month. Nothing serious, I don't believe, but still, I just needed you to know that that's the reason why they weren't here or weren't able to join us this month, but we do expect to have them both back next month. Brad was just busy. Sometimes life takes over and things happen, and he was just busy this month. But the rest of us are here. So this is going to be a little bit shorter show than we're used to for the main shows, but it's still going to be a good one. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming along for the ride. Let's get the announcements out of the way. Right now, there's only one announcement, and that is that in April, we will be doing a gaming panel at Lane Community College at the Cottage Grove campus. Now, it's going to be preceding what is going to be probably the event of the spring in Cottage Grove, actually all over the world. As you know, Divided We Game is one of four podcasts that are hosted by the Great Divide Podcast Network. One of the other podcasts is called A House Divided. That is the Game of Thrones recap analysis podcast, also hosted by yours truly. In 2019, in April or May, will be the last season of the Game of Thrones as we know it. What I'm expecting them to do, because it would be crazy for them not to, this is what I'm expecting HBO to do, is because there are only going to be six episodes, each episode is going to be longer than they normally are. So like right now, they're like an hour a piece. These episodes, or from what I read, are going to be like an hour 20, hour 30 minutes a piece. Six episodes. What I'm expecting them to do is put the very last episode of the show, the series finale, in a movie theater. If that's what they do, we're going to go as a group and see it. However, if they don't do that, if it just appears on HBO like all the other ones, we're going to have a viewing at Lane Community College on the season finale night. Preceding that will be the gaming panel, and hopefully all of the team will be there to be a part of the panel to discuss gaming. Now, we haven't really gotten into what the topic is going to be, but it's going to have something to do with older people and gaming. and it's going to be interactive, and it's going to feature video and actual game footage and stuff like that. So I hope you will join us for that. That's in April. So that's like 6 months away. So we shouldn't even be thinking about it right now. But I wanted to plant that little seed in your head so that as we get closer to it, you'll think about joining us, not only for the panel, but for the final episode of Game of Thrones. All right, let's get into the main content for the show. This month, we've decided to go a little bit dark. We've decided that because October is Halloween. It's the witching month. So we wanted to talk about games that might be a little bit frightening, or things that might be frightening in games. Let's see what the team came up with. Bloody Freddy, Bloody Freddy. Heard you niggas wanna war? Well, I'm ready. Well, I'm ready. Bloody, I'ma get you in your dreams. Hit your ass with a Molotov. Came through and shot up a block. Now you done pissed Freddy off. Bloody Freddy, I'm from Elm Street. Nah, nigga, don't run now. I heard you mad that I took your pound. Bloody Freddy, don't play around. When you go to sleep, Bloody Freddy's gonna creep. Nightmare on Elm Street. Fuck Friday the 13th. I'll see you tonight. You got yourself a fight. Sleep good tonight. It'll be your last night. Bloody Freddy. Bloody Freddy. Heard you niggas wanna war? Well, I'm ready. Bloody Freddy. Bloody Freddy.
Hey everybody, this is Styles here. I think most people, when they think scary gaming, they think horror games. They probably think Resident Evil, maybe Silent Hill, something like that. Fatal Frame back in the day. I had to think about it for a little bit because I'm not the type of person, ever since I was very little, my dad would always, he'd let me watch pretty much any movies that I wanted. Like, I remember I used to actually have nightmares when I was really little because of some of the scary movies I would watch at first. But my dad would always stress to me that it was make-believe, and he would teach me about how they do special effects and everything, and that these are actors and they're on a set. And so I was always really divorced when I see gore and stuff. I can see gore in movies. I can see the most gory special effects you can imagine. But it makes me queasy if I watch like surgery videos or something that I know is real. Because my brain can really separate the two. It really does. And so with video games, it's like an even more, I know it's just polygons, you know what I mean? It's like, and so it's always been hard for me to be legitimately scared of games. There's jump scares. There's being spooked. There's being like, you know, startled. But that's not the same as something that's scary. Scary to me is fear. It's something that lasts. It's something you can sit there and think about it after it happened or as it's happening, and you're worried, you're afraid, you're worried, you're scared. And so when I think about that, for me at least, the moment that I think about is a moment in Final Fantasy VII. And for anybody that's played Final Fantasy VII, you may very well know what I'm about to talk about. For anyone that hasn't played it, there are spoilers ahead. So it's one of the greatest games I've ever played, one of the greatest games of all time. If you've never played Final Fantasy VII, stop listening to this right now. Don't listen to this anymore. Go play Final Fantasy VII. Just beat it. It's on PlayStation 4, it's on PC, it's on mobile. You have no excuse. Go beat the game. But for the rest of you, feel free to continue to listen, because as some of you are already suspecting, the moment that has most terrified me in any part of gaming would be when Aeris dies in Final Fantasy VII. And let me explain myself. So Final Fantasy VII for me, I'd been playing RPGs for a while, role-playing games for a little bit. My friend got me into them, both the paper and pen Dungeons & Dragons style role-playing games and video game role-playing games. We played early on, I think the first one I ever played it is, if you count Legend of Zelda, of course, then, in which it kind of is an RPG, then yeah, that would be the first. But besides that, more traditional, what you think of traditional as a JRPG, I played Lufia, the first one on Super Nintendo. I played Crystalis on regular NES. I played Breath of Fire. I played the old, you know, Final Fantasy 4 in Japan, what we call 2 here, and 3 here, 6 in Japan. Those were Super Nintendo games. I played those as well. And since then, I've played a ton of JRPGs, but I started out early on with those. And so that was kind of my experience. And I got really into the storytelling, because storytelling is probably the most important thing in gaming for me. I put storytelling above gameplay. So if a game has not that great a gameplay but great storytelling, that's fine for me. Some people, that's not the point. They want gameplay, you know what I mean? They're not trying to watch a movie that has interactive nature. And I don't care either way. Both are satisfying to me. I like a good story. If the gameplay's awesome, even better. You know what I mean? If we're talking Metal Gear, then incredible top-of-the-line story and then great gameplay, then even better. But, you know, so I'm a story guy. So for me, RPGs are like where it's at. Like, I dive into the story hundreds of hours long, get really invested in these characters. And that was really like that for Final Fantasy VII. It was the first 3D graphical RPG that I played. And even though the graphics, you'll look back, they're pretty terrible. People have literally triangles for heads and blocks for hands and stuff. There are cutscenes that flesh out a little bit better what the characters look like. And in the battle graphics, you actually see the characters a lot better. And through the story, you really get used to like who these characters are. Like, as people, you really get used to them. And you feel like you know the characters. And I identified a lot with Cloud's character, you know, to some extent. I think he's a little more emotional and whiny than I am, than a lot of people are. But otherwise, I identified with him a lot. You know, they don't tell you a lot about him at first, so it's easy to identify with him. He's kind of a blank slate, a la Chrono in the Chrono Trigger games, another Square Enix game. So it's kind of easy to identify with him no matter who you are at first. And so he cared a lot about Aeris, who's the character that died. And so, like, I identified with that. Like, I really cared about her. She was this important person to me, you know what I mean? And the scene that it happens in, she gets run through, as anybody who's seen it knows. She's standing there and she's praying. You later find out she's praying to basically bring on the only thing that stops this game from ending in an apocalypse, which she's summoning this. Basically, she's trying to summon a meteor, you know, and stop what's happening, you know, like trying to summon the life stream, the Earth's like planet strength and energy to fight back and stop what this meteor and what Sephiroth, the main antagonist, is doing. So anyway, she's basically trying to save the world. She's sitting there sacrificing herself to save the world, which is incredible enough in and of itself. And you kind of know what's happening to an extent. And then Sephiroth, the main villain, he drops from the ceiling and just runs her through the chest with this giant katana. And she's like still smiling when she like falls. She has her hands in a prayer stance and just falls forward and just limp, totally limp. And, like, you know she's dead. I don't know how I knew she was dead. It's like, I'd read a lot of comic books. People always come back. It's a video game. There's lots of ways that we can revive her. I mean, in this very game, people die and get brought back to life within the same fight. So it's not unreasonable that she wasn't dead. But something about how incredibly that was scene was done, it was clear to me she was dead and gone. And she was never going to come back. And that was what made me scared. That was what really made me afraid. Because for the first time, the implications of becoming so invested in a character and the fact that they could just get taken away from you, the fact that you would lose that person or that personality that you'd come to know and care about, that they could just be taken out of your life like that. And it's something you experience when you really lose someone that you care about in real life. But at that point in my life, I was probably 15 or 16, and I hadn't gotten to that point, you know, where I'd really lost somebody besides like a grandparent who, you know, I loved and cared about, but I didn't know them personally, like a best friend or something. And you really feel like you're friends with those characters, like it's a close friend. So I guess it's like comparable to someone like, you know, losing. But the fact that even if I had lost a friend like that, the fact that you could have that happen in a video game, like, I just don't think in most movies I'd had time, in books maybe I'd had time to invest in characters, but a lot of children's literature doesn't have characters who you love permanently die. So this was like, I guess it was kind of like reading Bridge to Terabithia for the first time when I was little or something. Like, just like that same feeling of like, oh God, video games can do this too, just like books and movies. Like, they can kill someone and they're gone. And yeah, I guess I had experienced it a little bit in movies. Like, I think I'd seen, what's the name of that movie with Macaulay Culkin? Oh, it's a song. It's a Motown song. My Girl. My Girl. Yeah, like, that movie was pretty brutally honest about death, and you really lose a character who you start to you love in the movie. Like, Macaulay Culkin's character is the sweetest kid ever. And he dies for no reason, for no good reason. And you got to deal with that, you know? And so it's like, it was kind of like that, but it was from a video game, and I just hadn't, video games were just this escape for fun for me, and I was like, whoa, this is fucking heavy. Like, and from then on, I was terrified. Like, who else am I going to lose? And when I played other video games, I'm like, oh God, please don't let them kill off this character. And no amount of zombies or scary monsters or anything has ever really scared me that much, has ever really made me worry or get emotional while I'm playing a video game as much as that thought that, oh God, I hope this character doesn't die. I'll lose them and then they'll be gone. I won't have any more experiences that involve that character. They're just gone, you know? So that's my scary gaming experience. I know it's probably non-traditional. It might not even be what people were expecting, or it might not even be what people were looking for when they asked that question. But to be honest, like I said, I don't really get that scared outside of the occasional jump scare or startle during games. They don't make me feel fear. But the thought of losing a character that I've really come accustomed to, that terrifies me.
Okay, so I would never call any of the games in the Fallout franchise scary. In case you didn't know, this is your boy F Major, aka Paroxicus. But there is something really creepy about Fallout 4. And I'm going to run that by you after I get with a couple of things that people don't necessarily understand about the game. Not necessarily things that people don't understand, but theories that have popped up in regards to stuff that Bethesda doesn't release about the game. One of the theories is that dog meat is actually a plant from the Institute. Like, all the other animals in Fallout have radiation poisoning, they got two heads, you know, shit like that. And then this one dog is in perfect health in the middle of the Commonwealth, after everything else had been ravaged. Something is wrong with that. So I don't know if the Institute was who planted him there, and he was sending information back to the Institute. I don't know. I just know that it's awful weird for dog meat to be as in good a health as he is in the Commonwealth when all the other animals look like something is wrong with them. Now, the second thing I thought was interesting is in the first big battle you get into when Codsworth sends you to Concord, and you're before you even meet Preston Garvey. Preston Garvey is fighting off some raiders. Well, it turns out those raiders were trying to get Mama Murphy. That's why they were fighting. A lot of people don't know that. The leader of the raiders was Mama Murphy's son. What they were trying to do was kidnap Mama Murphy because they knew she had the sight. Her son wanted the sight, and so he was planning to kill everybody else there and kidnap Mama Murphy. So that whole situation was mother versus son. So you just killed her son and all of his raider friends, basically. The third thing is, and this would blow my mind if this was true, Preston Garvey may be the biggest antagonist in the whole Fallout 4 world. The reason this theory came about is, as the leader of the Minutemen, he has you to go to all of these different settlements and defend these settlements from raiders. He then makes you, a person he don't even know, the general for the Minutemen. He made you the head. Why would a person do that and don't know nothing about you? In any case, he sends you to these settlements to help defend them from raiders. Who is to say he's not the person sending the raiders to try to destroy these settlements? Because then if he sends these people to the settlements and you defend them all, then that means he has control over each of these settlements. So if you get control over all these settlements in the Commonwealth, that means he gets control over all of those different settlements in the Commonwealth. And if you notice, when you get towards the end of the game, he don't want you to fuck with no other faction. He don't want you to fuck with the Brotherhood of Steel, the Railroad. All that shit is passe. And that's so that he can have complete control over everything that's happening in the Commonwealth. That's another theory I found interesting. Here's the creepy shit. The first time I played through Fallout, the very beginning, and you get to the place where you're fighting the Raiders, and you have to go up to the top of that building and talk to Preston Garvey and Mama Murphy and John and Marcy Long for the first time. When you kill all the Raiders and you and Dog Meat go into that building, you can't just walk straight and go up the stairs because part of the floor is missing. You have to go to the right and through part of this museum-like space. That's where you see these mannequins. That was the first place I saw an abundance of those weird mannequins that's all over the Commonwealth. So, of course, naturally, the first thing you think is, what are all these mannequins for? What do they do? They're just mannequins, right? And you're in a museum, so you're saying, well, of course they have them here. They're, you know, there to show off whatever 1776 garb they wore at the time, and, you know, shit like that. They're mannequins. This was before you knew that they was all over the Commonwealth. But when I walked through there the first time, I didn't know if these mannequins were important or not. So what I did was I went out of my way to avoid hitting any of them. So when I went through there real slow, and they were all standing. I didn't hit any of them. And then when I got out to the other side where the steps are, I had to fight more Raiders. But I do remember specifically, I didn't hit any of those mannequins. When I had to come through there again, the second time, every single one of those mannequins had been knocked over. And I remember thinking to myself, well, how the fuck did that happen? I didn't hit them. How did they get knocked over like this? And I know Dog Meat didn't hit them, because I would have heard it. You know, you're wearing these headsets and shit, you can hear that type of shit. So it turns out, and I don't know if this is true, but it is possible those mannequins can come to life. The reason I say that is because if you play the DLC, if you play Far Harbor, there is a place where there's a whole bunch of ships that are sunk under the sea. And if you go into one of them, all of the crew on this ship is dead. There are those mannequins all over the place. And there's a note on the ship. I'm going to see if I can't pull it up right now. Let's see what this note says. The note says, and this was from the captain of the ship, "I can't wait to drop these damn mannequins off. The crew is starting to claim that they are hearing weird noises from the cargo. Maybe they are just playing pranks on me. Whatever, we are almost there." Well, since the ship is at the bottom of the ocean, they didn't make it, apparently. Okay, so it is possible everybody on that boat was a crackhead. Okay, and so they were seeing hallucinations from the crack smoke, that they was engaging in that type of behavior. Okay, or methamphetamine, whatever the drug of the day was in 2078 or whatever, it's possible they were smoking that. I don't think that. And I'm going to tell you why. If you go play Fallout right now, and just for this one part, it'll take you all of 5 minutes, and I'm not making this up. I wish that this was a video podcast so I could show it to you. Leave Sanctuary. Go to Concord. Go down whatever that street is, the main road. When you get to the second house, go in it, because there's only two houses there where you can actually enter them. There's the first house that got like a safe in it. That second house, go in it. Go to the top of the stairs. When you get to the top of the stairs, go to the right and then make another right. There's a bathroom there. In that bathroom there, and I'm going to post a picture of this to my Facebook so y'all know that I'm not lying. In that bathroom, there is a bathtub full of water with a skeleton in it. And there are three of those mannequins standing around it with machetes. and blood all over the place. Ain't nobody wandering around the Commonwealth setting this shit up to look like mannequins murder shit. I believe they are alive. Now, you'll also know that some places where there are mannequins at are some places where those synths from the Institute will teleport to. So they like to teleport to places where those mannequins are, so it just looked like there's, you know, another mannequin in the bunch of those mannequins where the synth can hide at. So anyway, the mannequins are alive. I believe they can come alive at will, and I'm terrified. And I need Bethesda to do another part or another DLC so we know exactly what the fuck is going on. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
What's up, guys? My name is Michael, or on Xbox Live, XBamf XFusion 8. The scariest game I played, you know, growing up, you know, there's not too many games that you can really think of other than, like, Dark Souls and stuff, but that's not really too long ago. And I guess the scarier game for me when I was a kid was God of War. This is a game I played all as a kid. It was very scary at some points, but the more you play, you know, the more addicting you get to the blood and the gore and the, you know, the sexual content that's actually within the game. You know, as a kid, you know, a tiny kid, the game's ridiculous. It's crazy. It was kind of crazy that my parents even let me play the game. Definitely very spooky, very dark. The game, you know, it's a very dark and, like, he is a very mean person and very scary subject. Definitely a lot of scary creatures and demons inside the game, which is, like, that's just awesome. Because, you know, you go through the whole game meeting different creatures, witches, and other things that are just crazy. Yeah, it's just, like, the cool aspect of, like, a different culture and everything. Like, the Greek gods mythology and, like, the demons and what they, like, drew up was what they thought of what they would look like. I don't know, it's just, it's a cool game. The reason I picked this game out is because this is what I would play on Halloween. I would play this game and get the Halloween vibe, dude. Jason, this killing, the slaughtering, man. You kidding me? Halloween's about the violence and the candy and just having a good time. Games to look at if you are, you know, wanting to play some over the, you know, to get in the mood for Halloween, here's a few games. The first one's going to be Resident Evil 7. This game is definitely a very scary game, very good story, and just an all-around good game to play with some friends. Another game that's great to play with some friends is going to be Layers of Fear. This game, I actually watched a lot of gameplay on them through the whole game, and it's a very intense, it's very mind elusive, I guess. Like, it's a great game. If you have a bunch of people and you're just playing in the dark and you're ready to go out, it's going to scare you. It's a very scary game, and you should definitely give it a chance. It's definitely one that I would go out and get. It's pretty cheap too. It's only like $20 on Xbox. Next game coming up is going to be Outlast 2. This game is just a great game just to play. You know, you can play it during Halloween season, get pretty intense, and you can keep on playing. And the game is just phenomenal whenever you want to play it. The next game coming up is going to be Friday the 13th. The game, I watched a lot of it, and it's actually a very cool and intense experience. Another person plays as Jason, and you play as a, you know, a person, which you get to choose, and they have different abilities that help you or help your squad out when you're playing, trying to survive going against Jason. And Jason has a lot of techniques to kill you, and it's just a scary game, and it definitely gets you in the mood when you hear that, you know, Friday the 13th coming up this October, 666. It's like, it's great. Some games that are already out or some that are kind of, they're just being developed, they're about to come out, that are coming up is Agony. That's one game. Agony, it's a very intense game. You go into hell and you have to survive, and you're just like going through these layers of hell, just getting tormented and beat up, and it's just like, I don't know. The gameplay I've seen on it, it's very confusing, and I don't know how the story standpoint's going to be out, but if you play it, you're going to have a heart attack. It's very intense. The next game we're going to get it going out is going to be Visage. The next one after that is going to be Scorn. And the one after that is going to be called Remothered. I actually heard about this game, and this game sounds really good. Definitely check out Remothered. And Scorn is also a good game. I think it's something revolving around a guy with some horns, kind of like a creature, and he goes against some opponents. But, yeah, that's my scary list. I hope you had a little laugh, a little fun. I'll be back with some more podcasts coming up soon. Peace out.
And now for the weather with gaming meteorologist Effington Major. I know it's about to get cold outside, but we're going to take a look and see which games are going to be keeping us warm in front of our television sets throughout the winter. Starting with Friday, October 26th, Red Dead Redemption 2 drops. I Can't Wait is going to be Rockstar's biggest game drop of the year. Followed by November 14th, Fallout 76. And I tried to get into Elder Scrolls Online. I tried. I couldn't do it. And I think it has something to do with Bethesda didn't create Elder Scrolls Online. They commissioned that through a different company. But Fallout 76 is going to be created or has been created by Bethesda. So I think that I'm going to take to it better. So I can't wait for that. Followed by November the 20th, Battlefield 5 is going to drop on all major platforms. Then as we approach Christmas, December the 4th, the biggest game left in the year is going to drop, which is Just Cause 4, and then we have a bit of a lull around the Christmas time. There's something dropping in January that we're not going to talk about yet because I need to do a little bit more research, but then in February, two games drop on February 22nd that I need you to know about. They've been talking about Anthem for the past 3 years. I believe they debuted it at E3 2016, and it's not coming out till 2019, February 22nd, so I'm looking forward to that. Also, on February 22nd, Days Gone is going to launch. That's a PS4 exclusive, and it's related to zombies and another game that I think is going to be great. There are trailers up online for it. I suggest you go take a look because you'll be playing right alongside me. Finally, on March the 15th, just as we're about to go back into the springtime, The Division 2, a Ubisoft exclusive, is dropping on all major platforms. This has been your weather with Effington Major. Act like you heard. Now back to the studio. And now it's time for the feedback. At the end of every show, we will be going over the feedback from the previous main show, because a lot of times people will have stuff to say about what it is they heard in the previous show. Now, if you want to leave feedback, there's two ways to do it. Either feedback@dividedwegame.us or hit us up on the voicemail line at 541-357-7585. Keep your messages to 2-3 minutes or less, so that we can make sure to get to everybody. You know, when people start going longer than 3 minutes, they start preaching. It's not a question anymore. It's more of a soliloquy or a performance, you know. So keep your questions to, or your feedback to 2 minutes, 3 minutes or less, and then let's keep it pushing. So today we have two pieces of feedback that came in. My goodness. Everybody's trying to get a hold of me right now. James M. says, I really enjoy the Fortnite PUBG perspectives. Have any of you guys tried H1Z1? What do you think about that? I can't speak for the rest of the team, and I will actually pass this question on to everybody else, and maybe they can answer it in the November show. For me personally, I have not played H1Z1. I heard it is really, really similar to PUBG, but with zombies. Now, I don't know. So I could be completely wrong about that. But since you brought it up, I will go ahead and give it a try. That way, when I answer in November, I will actually have an answer based on my playing of it. But like I said, I will go ahead and forward this question to the rest of the team and get their feedback in for the November show. Next one. Char22Lean says, a lot of my son is 12 years old. I think she was trying to say my son is 12 years old. He and a lot of his friends play Fortnite. I've watched them play, though I can never really hear it because they have headsets on. It looks okay to me, but is there anything that would make me not like it as a parent or make it not okay for children? That's a good question. As a player of Fortnite, I can say that there are times when I'm on my headset, I definitely hear other children around that age playing. The only thing I would say you would really have to worry about is perhaps the language that some of the other players use, because you have to remember, this is not a single player game. This is a game where there's 100 people on the server, 100 different, like, actual live people, not NPCs and shit, like real live people. And adults will say anything. And I'm not even talking about like adults my age. I'm talking about like young adults, high schoolers, people in college will say anything. Now, in my personal experience, I've never heard anybody saying anything too crazy or anything that would be offensive to a parent or people calling each other, hey, you pussy, or, you know, stuff like that. I've never heard any of that. But there's always the chance that that could happen. So I can't tell you, I ain't got no kids. I can't tell you how to raise your kids. You can set up your son's Xbox or PS4 or whatever so that you can hear the sound through the TV. I have mine set up so that the sound only plays through the headphones. Whenever I have my headphones on, that's all it comes through. That way, I don't keep people in the house woke up at night, you know what I'm saying, because it's playing loud through the TV. However, if I wanted to change the settings on my PS4 or my Xbox so that it played through the TV as well as through my headphones, I could do that. And what I'm suggesting you do is go into your settings and make it so that you can hear what's going on the headsets through the TV. So not only can they hear, and here's the thing, the headsets are kind of important because since these games play audio in surround sound, a lot of time, the cues you have that somebody that you need to shoot or kill or whatever, or somebody sneaking around you, you don't have a visual cue. You can't see them on screen, but you might be able to hear them sneaking up behind you or from the side or whatever based on the headsets. So they're really important to play the game. However, like I was saying, in order for you to monitor what your child is doing, you can always make it so that it plays through the headset and through the TV at the same time. That way your child can hear everything that's happening on the headset. And you, who don't need to know if somebody's sneaking up behind him or to the side of him or whatever, can hear everything that's going on through the TV. That's my advice. I think I covered that pretty thoroughly, but I will also forward this question to the rest of the team to see if they have anything to add to it. Thank you guys for your feedback. And now I believe it is time to get out of here. All right, J2, tell the people who you are and how they can find you.
This is Styles here. You can find me on Twitter as StylishMC. I'm also on the PlayStation Network, capital S, number 1, GHK, 0, MANTIZ. Should look like Psycho Mantis for all you Metal Gear fans out there. On YouTube, my YouTube channel is Electronic, that's ELCTRNK, no vowels, ELCTRNK, so electronic, like with no vowels and a K at the end, Mortal Kombat style.
What's up, guys? My name is Michael, or on Xbox Live, XBamf XFusion8.
and I am Effington Major. You can find me on PlayStation 4, Xbox, and Steam as Paroxicus. P-A-R-O-X-Y-C-U-S. Paroxicus. Don't forget, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Feedburner, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast hosts. Make sure you subscribe to the show, and if you're enjoying our content, please consider leaving a 5-star review. 5-star reviews help us get the word out about the show. It's a way to support us, and it's absolutely free. Also, you can visit us on the website at thegreatdivide.us. Click the link that says Divided We Game, and you'll pull up all the information for the team and the different shows, and you can listen to the shows there for free as well. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again. Till next time, this is Effington Major, also known online as Paroxicus, signing off. See you guys next mission.